It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here at World Famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about the team. We're going to talk about recruiting. We're going to talk about arrests. We're going to talk about drugs. We're going to talk about rock and roll. We're going to talk about beer. We're going to talk about tamales. We're going to talk about everything. And first and foremost, I have to thank the folks here at Champy's.
Absolutely.
For setting us up with my favorite. Now, granted, you see these huge chicken fingers out here. For those of you listening to the podcast, in front of us, we have a huge four-piece chicken tender plate. And if you can finish it, and there's only a very few Georgia football players who can. They come in here
all the time.
And they get one and they're done. I've gotten one and I can't get through it because those chicken fingers are huge. But my favorite are the tamales. They're phenomenal. I'm sitting here smelling them. This show's going to be about 17 minutes because that's as far as I can get.
If you're a tamale freak like I am, you're going to love these things. There's no question about it. There's no better fried chicken in the Classic City. And really, probably not in this area. I haven't had better fried chicken in Atlanta.
I thought they were the best hot chicken in Nashville.
Yeah.
And yeah. In fact, they're in Nashville, so they would know.
Yeah, so
Champy's is
but
everywhere.
But, yes, this is Champy's, always a great sponsor, a great supporter of UGA Sports Live. We appreciate them so much. And get in here. Friday nights, 5 p.m., crawfish is going down for the foreseeable future. Who knows when it'll run out. It's a limited-time offer. Hop on it.
Well, let's as much as I want to keep talking about the tamales and the beer they gave us, we need to talk about the biggest news going on in Athens right now. The off season is here, and I know people go, well, it's not big news, Roddy. Yes, it is big news, simply because what does the off season equal in Athens? And, you know, Baton Rouge,
everywhere else.
And Gainesville, and Tuscaloosa. The off season equals either commits, you know, recruiting,
or
arrests. And on Monday, Georgia had one of each. So it's kind of was it designed that way? No, but you would think so.
Yeah.
We woke up Monday morning to news that Elijah Holyfield had been arrested, and the guys at 11 Live put this together for me. They said Kirby Smart has had 9 players since he got here be arrested 10 times. That's a year and what? Last December to December, so a year and 4 months.
Yeah, roughly.
Not exactly a great track record.
No.
But then if you go back to to Mark Richt.
He's lost control of the program.
Yeah, he's lost control. Same thing happened. You know, there were arrests. Some years were worse than others. One year he didn't have any. One year he had like 10 or 11. I mean, it happens. We see this everywhere else. And I know people are frustrated with it and they shake their heads at it. I guess the thing I want to bring up about this is it's not – it could have been worse. Let me put it that way.
Oh, of course.
You know, so Elijah Holyfield, okay, you shouldn't have been smoking marijuana. You know, he says he didn't. I won't convict him. But when you have the paraphernalia in your room and you've got the buds and all that stuff in there, somebody in that room was smoking it, apparently.
The buds, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen to this guy over here.
I have the police report. I'm not the hippie. But so somebody was doing it in there. I'm not going to convict him.
Yeah. But innocent until proven guilty.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Surely.
But, you know, the stuff's there. And people say, well, you shouldn't do that. And I agree with them. You shouldn't. Yeah, those are the rules. Now, did I break the rules? Yes. Was I a football player? No. Okay. I didn't break that particular rule. We had guys get underage drinking. To me, the biggest issue that Kirby Smart has had so far is actually not a player on his team. It's De'Anthony Dimery.
Yeah.
Because everything else has
no
been
question,
stupid.
No question.
Granted, the DUIs were serious. Jonathan Ledbetter DUIs.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But driving on a learner's permit, not having your license, underage drinking,
Bringing some weed up from Fort Lauderdale.
Some of the stuff that Kirby's guys get been arrested for, I haven't had an issue with. But, the battery, the charge of that and the DUI, those are to me the big ones.
That's very serious. I mean, that's the kind of thing that, in my opinion, a guy getting busted on a weed charge, look, I get it's illegal. I get it's unsavory. It's against policy. All those things matter. But that doesn't necessarily speak to behavior down the line.
Right, and the people that want to lay this on Kirby Smart's doorstep, hey, this is you, it's not Kirby. It wasn't Richt. It wasn't Jim Donnan. It wasn't even back in McWhorter Hall when you had stuff going on. You know, it wasn't Vince Dooley. You know, it's kids. Well, young men. We were stupid. We did dumb things.
I was a young man.
Some people get arrested. Some don't. Some can talk their way out of it. Some have a silver tongue. And yeah, let's move on before we get in trouble.
No, but you know, with Elijah, you know, we talked about this with Riley Ridley, and I do think that it's a very key thing to keep perspective on. You know, of all the things that anybody could be arrested for, this is about the best, if there is such a best.
Exactly. That's why. That's my whole point. I equate it with underage drinking.
Absolutely. No doubt.
And a lot of people go, well, it's drugs. Well, yes. Okay. But then alcohol, to me, can be just as bad. And I'm not getting into the whole weed versus alcohol.
Absolutely.
Underage drinking is against the rules. But it's funny. People will turn a blind eye to that and say, oh, boys will be boys. But then someone gets caught with weed, and it's no longer boys will be boys. But they're both illegal.
Sure.
And both are misdemeanors.
And you're talking about, in this day and age, I know that people probably feel differently based on, you know, when they were coming up or you know, like you said.
Life experience is more so than age.
Exactly. This is a different generation of kid. This is a kid who comes up where weed is the same deal as underage drinking. I mean, it really
prevalent.
Is.
Absolutely. Absolutely the same. And sometimes it's cheaper.
How do you know that?
Because I was told that by these same kids. They're like, look, I can afford, you know, for my $20, I can get this much versus this much beer. And that's why we all do it. I'm like, okay. And I never thought about the economics of it.
Sure.
I didn't know. I've never bought weed in my life.
Of course.
Never tried it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he said, hey, this is what happens. I'm like, oh. Okay. But again, to your point, it is that prevalent. Point being, I think that the fans should be very disappointed in Elijah Holyfield and the fact that, you know, this happened on campus in a dorm room, just like they should have been disappointed when guys got busted downtown for being underage drinking. In other words, the lapse in judgment, not the particulars, are what you should be disappointed over. And this is a guy who, of all the guys on the team, he's in a tough spot. He has two fantastic guys ahead of him who are going to be fighting for reps. The guy that came in with him, Brian Herrien, you know, when you're already behind Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel,
then
Brian Herrien, when he got in, tore the doors off the place. And you're like, wow, can't wait to see that guy run. You're fourth at best. And then DeAndre Swift's coming. So you've got somebody going right on your heels. And then if they get Zamir White, we'll talk about that in a minute. You know, this is a tough thing. In other words, you can't afford any slip-ups.
Well, the other thing about it is, in my opinion, you're talking about a kid in Elijah Holyfield who probably better than anybody on the whole Georgia roster should understand what it's like to be under the public eye.
His arrest made international news.
I bet. You know,
it
I mean, yeah,
the,
to
it,
be
in London, they reported it.
You better than anyone understand that scrutiny. Yeah. I would assume. You know, I don't know the relationship, of course, growing up, but the fact of the matter is, his dad is Evander Holyfield. Yeah. He's a world championship boxer.
Yeah,
he's made headlines before. You know, you have been exposed to that much more than Jacob Eason or anybody else. That's what I say.
And he's got a good head on the shoulders, and I don't want to beat him up.
No question.
Just saying, that is the off season. So we saw that. But then later that same day, you know, we wake up at 6 o'clock to the news that Evander Holyfield had been arrested. We knew at, was it 6 o'clock? That
Elijah, not Evander.
I mean, excuse me, Elijah.
That would have been a hell of a morning.
Speaking dyslexia there. So Elijah had been arrested. Now, we knew ahead of time. Very few people did, that Chris Smith was going to announce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That was a nice scoop on Chad Simmons' part. He had it. He had the story ready to go, waiting to see if Chris Smith was going to commit on his birthday. Had a video launched. Was that at 6 up 2, I believe?
It was. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they're 12 hours apart, pretty much.
Yes.
You know, kind of when the news broke to when the better news broke.
And things like that happened last year. You know, there were times when arrests happened or guys committed to other schools, and it felt like that those commitments soon followed.
Yeah.
And feel how you want about it. I can't speak to the validity of it. I felt some of it was a little scripted. I think that's fair to say. Chris Smith, it's his 17th birthday. I mean, the kid, he wakes up. He knows what he's going to do.
And he had decided
weeks and weeks before.
Yeah, he decided at G-Day.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about G-Day. We come back from G-Day and folks go, oh, well, there's only one commit. It was a kicker. You know, G-Day was unsuccessful. Well, it's the same with Dog Night, Kirby Smart Camp, G-Day, Georgia, Florida game, all those big events that people think, well, this is going to get us some commits. They don't always do it immediately. Guys decide. This is where I'm going.
Notori Johnson did not commit the weekend after G-Day. You know, I mean, it was a week or two after. I mean, it was, but that was what moved the needle for him.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It was exactly what you're speaking to.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about Chris Smith, but the whole point is that's the off season. Okay? I had to tell people earlier today that when you look at the UGA Sports website, to pay attention to the left hand side of the page, the ticker, because yes, we are 123 days away from kickoff. G-Day's already passed. There's nothing team football related until August. And people think these are the doldrums. But I tell people, you have to check the UGA Sports front page, the left-hand side, because we have seven stories at UGA Sports on the front page that have photos attached to them.
Yeah.
Then things get bumped down to the ticker.
On the second day of May.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
nothing.
We've already filled up the front page, and now things are slotting down to the ticker that are just headlines, no photos.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff going on. We have so many recruiting updates, so many team updates. We have so much analysis coming that I know it's not, hey, here's what happened in practice today, but the off season is not a news desert.
No, not at all.
It seems to be the exact opposite.
Not at all. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Well, and the thing about it is, also, everything that happens right now is magnified 10 times. I mean, you know, Elijah Holyfield getting arrested is, like you said, it was international news. It wasn't just on UGASports.com.
It was TMZ
across,
picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's going to happen. I mean, a guy getting an arrest for a misdemeanor possession charge less than an ounce during the season?
You
fourth string running back?
Yeah.
That doesn't make international news.
Makes the front page.
Yeah, without a guy named Holyfield. So that's the offseason. So
absolutely.
It's kind of
absolutely.
If you take anything away from the show tonight, just understand that the offseason is in name only. All right. I don't want to beat this to death, but in your opinion, is there anything that the coaches can do differently to cut down on some of the off-season headlines?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. There's similar off-season headlines almost everywhere.
Well, I'm saying about the Georgia coaches. I mean coaches in general.
I don't think so. What's the old saying? Idle hands are the devil's work. I mean, if guys don't have much to do, then there's more opportunity to go out and find things. And I think probably most people can sympathize with that, I would hope. But, you know, if you don't have something going on, you're more apt to end up in a situation that maybe you wouldn't otherwise
do. That's why they have to do the quote-unquote voluntary workouts all summer.
Yeah, right.
It's like, hey, come lift, then we know you're up to
We're not going to mandate that, but you need to be there.
Yeah, you need to be exactly. And you'll be while you're resting, you won't be from your voluntary workout. You know, you won't be doing some of the stupid stuff. You know what's scary though? I mentioned this earlier in the show. It could have been worse. From what I understand, there were more than just three guys in Elijah Holyfield's room. I heard that there might have been more guys in the room.
So, I have not heard that.
Yeah,
please expound
that,
on what you can on the broadcast.
I'm just saying that there is a rumor, a wild rumor, and this is a podcast, so we can throw it in the rumor. It's not one of our news stories.
Not safe for work.
Yeah, there are some other folks that may have been in the room there, and a lot of them were young freshmen, you know, young guys on the team, who I think were scared to death when the police showed up.
As you would be.
And the reason I bring it up is good that, you know, it's not good that anybody got arrested, but it's good that there's only one.
Yep.
You know, not his roommates and not anybody else that may or may not have been in the room. But hopefully that terror of, hey, we almost all got arrested,
yeah,
keeps them straight, and we cut down on some of the stuff for the rest of the summer.
Well, and my thing with all of this, too, I've talked about this a couple of times. You've got the opportunity here, really, to go down one of two paths. And, you hope that Elijah ends up on the Natrez Patrick path, where he says, you know, I've got all this talent. I've got all this star power. I've got the ability to market myself and really make a big future for myself. Or you end up like Chauncey Rivers, you know, those guys both got caught together, and we saw exactly it was a tale of two cities.
Absolutely. And you think, you know, some of these guys, they come, especially the freshmen, they get here, they get caught up in, you know, having fun. Semester's almost over. You know, it's finals week. I get it. Maybe you've knocked out a couple and you want to relax or want to have fun, and you don't know how far to take it.
Yeah.
You know? And I saw that Mike Mills actually quoted, a story in the AJC about the whole thing. He's like, hey, put a fan in the window blowing out. Not that I would know. So, you know, Mike.
Roddy here with your info.
This tonight is from a rock and roll guy, okay? This is from, you know, one of the members of REM saying, hey, you know, not that I would know, but when I went to Georgia, we put a fan in the window blowing out so the RA didn't find out about it. But I think we might have a situation where hopefully some guys are scared straight. But, again, it happens everywhere. And I think what it comes down to, and this is why, you can be scared to death of your coaches, okay? Because it happens at Alabama, and Nick Saban's the scariest man on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, apparently, and, you know, people said, oh, you know, the Georgia players aren't scared of Mark Richt. That's why they keep getting in trouble. Well, you don't have to. I mean, Kirby Smart scares the hell out of me. So between Kirby and Nick Saban Les Miles, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think what happens is every 18, 19, and 20-year-old, myself included, thought, I'm not going to be the one that gets caught.
Let me tell you this. If your dad is a Vander Holyfield and you're not scared of him, you're not going to be scared of Kirby Smart.
No,
I mean,
no,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Screw it, yeah. So, that's a good point. But anyway, I don't want to feel like we've beaten this thing to death, but it's just I'm trying to stay on the theme of hopefully we will see less of this going forward.
No
because
question.
Maybe some of these young guys.
Everybody hopes that the reality is year in and year out. It's sort of the same things. I mean, it's college kids being college kids, and some kids get caught and some kids don't.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say whether who was caught or what, but, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
There's other team news we can talk about, but I want to move on to or kind of touch back on Chris Smith.
Yeah.
What's Georgia getting Chris Smith? Because all we've talked about for you and I sat here and talked about, well, if Georgia doesn't get Britton Cox, it's time to panic.
Yep.
Georgia didn't get Britton Cox. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's freaking out because Georgia went from having two recruits to one recruit, commit, back to two commits. And then, I mean, the only team with less commits was like Ole Miss at one point, and you're freaking out. You're like, well, they're under NCAA investigation. What's wrong with Georgia? And the guys that we thought were silent commits come to find out they're not silent commits, although there may be some, you know, down the pipeline. But point being, now Georgia gets Chris Smith, and everyone takes a Valium, I guess is where I'm looking for. Maybe they take a toke. Maybe they take a little.
Maybe they take a deep breath.
But people calm down a little bit, and they say, okay, Georgia can get one. And so, and they should be excited
need,
about Chris Smith. They
you need an icebreaker.
Yeah. And he's a guy that can help bring some people in. He has a list of guys that he's going after. But a perfect example, the number 40 at the University of Georgia is retired. Do you know why?
Tell me.
Because a guy beat Georgia Tech. Okay? Beat Georgia Tech. They call him the drought breaker because he'd lost to Georgia Tech 7-8 times. And we need Dave here. And they finally beat Georgia Tech. And they retire the guy's jersey. Maybe Chris Smith is the drought breaker.
Yeah.
You know? And that's not to say there was a drought because you got Camarda, the kicker.
Sure.
You know, on G-Day. So
I don't know people.
But they would stuck it two for so long.
Right, right.
You know, and then you lose Adam Anderson, you get Camarda back, people are like, okay, well, that's kind of a wash. You know, we need to build. And so you're getting Chris Smith in. What is Georgia getting Chris Smith?
Well, with Chris Smith, I think the biggest thing, in my opinion, is you get something that addresses an incredible need for Georgia. And it's something that Kirby Smart touched on in the post-G-Day press conference, the idea that Mecole Hardman was – the second string cornerback. I mean, he was the guy who was going to fill that role. Right. There's not a lot of depth there. You saw walk-ons playing in that position otherwise. Chris Smith is a true cornerback. He is not a safety. He is a guy who is going to play that cornerback position. That is his moneymaker. That's where he is. He is, Chad Simmons described him as aggressive, a playmaker. I totally agree with all of those things. Chris is a kid, and what I love about this, and I know you do too, guys, you want to talk about when you go to a camp and you watch these guys, Chris Smith is a guy who is fighting to get to the front.
Thank you.
He is a guy a guy who wants to get reps. He doesn't care how many offers he has. He doesn't care how many coaches are texting him or calling him. He's a guy who wants to step up and compete anytime, anywhere, no matter what. That's the kind of guy that you can build a team around.
You know, the other two guys I saw do that at the Under Armour camp, Trey Dean and Monday.
Yeah.
Quindarius Monday. We so often go to a camp and see the best player sitting back.
Yep.
Or they jump up when they see a young guy up there, you know, because they want a highlight reel type thing. And some of the guys I remember who did that, you know, who just kept stealing reps were guys like Corey Moore. You know, Corey Moore, hey, he's in the NFL now. You know, guys like Marlo Herrera played in the NFL.
You can't know. Teach it.
No, it's just they want to. They want – and I know it, with the Rivals camp, Chris was there. He was getting instruction. So a lot of guys come to camp and they get better. But some guys come to camp just because they want to whoop everybody's ass.
Yeah, sure.
Know? And so I was impressed with Chris when I saw that. The reason I'm asking you, you know, what's Georgia getting is because, you know, we need to tell all the listeners to the podcast. And, you know, people – I mean, Chris Smith doesn't really stand out in your head. That's
No, totally.
It's
totally.
Like John Smith. You're like, who is he? But he seemed to be kind of a jerk. Because if you watch the film that we put up at UGASports.com, he, off the line of scrimmage, even in these guys aren't in pads, and he's just knocking the crap out of these guys,
smacking them.
He's shoving a guy to the ground. I'm like, dude, you're a cornerback. You're not a linebacker.
Yeah.
But he's nasty. He's mean as hell.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, we might not think of, you know, the name Chris Smith as just being a complete asshole, but this guy was. It was beautiful, you know. In other words, He played with the exact same swagger and the same desire for reps as Malcolm Parrish.
Yes.
You remember when Malcolm came
up?
Malcolm was like, he wanted the tallest guys. He wanted, give me every tall guy out here. The kid that came in from California that went on to UCLA to be a wide receiver star, he wanted to take on Speedy Noel. He wanted to take on all those guys. He's like, give me the fastest, the biggest, the best guys. I'm 5'11". But I'm going to take him on. And he went one-on-one and beat him or tied him, you know.
And he ain't 5'11". You know what I'm saying? Like,
he was
listed.
5'11",
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
But my
Chris,
point.
Chris Smith, though, actually probably a legitimate 5'11", 6'. I mean, pretty much what you're looking at in that prime corner size. And a lot of people I know, I did this early on, kind of lump him in with William Poole.
Yeah,
and William's
a teammate, so you would.
Yeah, absolutely. William's a great player. Chris is the more aggressive of the two.
Yeah.
William's a lot more calculated in his game. He's a lot more of a technique-based guy. Chris Smith is a little bit of a crazy person when he gets to the line and when he gets a chance to go out there and throw blows against a wide receiver.
That's what I saw, and that's what I like. And I think that kind of cockiness, that kind of attitude is exactly what Georgia needs, and I like it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that I kind of laughed when we're sitting on the news because, you know, we can't report it because it hasn't happened.
Oh, sure.
You know, a kid can tell you, yes, I'm coming to Georgia. Here's my quote. Here's why I committed to him, and I'm going to do it, and I've told the coaches. And at that point, technically, he's kind of committed. But a kid can always change his mind because I've had a situation where a guy did that. I've had multiple situations where a guy tells the coaches he's coming, gives me the quote, says I'm going to announce it at 6 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock he puts on a Clemson hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you're
right.
Like,
well,
so,
hey, that was Brenton Cox last week. I mean, it was –
perfect example.
You know, it was down to the wire of even if he was going to do something, was he even going to say it? And then, all of a sudden it's Ohio State.
Yeah.
We had the story. Chad Simmons talked to him. He knew that was what the decision was going to be. You know, there were a lot of extenuating circumstances around that.
In other words, this one ain't over, folks.
Yeah, exactly. but also too, it's a situation with that kid where, you know, things change very quickly.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, we're sitting on that news, and then all of a sudden, the kid does it.
Yeah,
you know, it's like he gives Chad go ahead and put it out there. Chad does it. The kid comes on Twitter and announces it, and then next day, Isaac Conte commits to Georgia. Now, a lot of people are like, who the hell is Isaac Conte? I'm assuming it's Conte, K-A-N-T-E.
Yeah.
But he's a a power forward out of New York. You know, played at Putnam Science Academy in Connecticut. Pretty, you know, 6'8". He fills out the
230,
rest.
I believe.
Yeah, fills out the rest.
Maybe he could play D-N if nothing else works out. If Mark Fox can't use him, maybe they can get him in.
And he's going to get bigger than that. So all of a sudden, Georgia gets two commits. Now, granted, one's in basketball, but that's the end of the 2017 cycle. And you noticed yesterday they knew they were getting him, and all of a sudden, Mark Fox was throwing out offers to all his 2018 guys. All right, I know I'm getting another small forward, so let's go for the guard, the shooting guard. You know, they're adjusting, you know, their needs for the upcoming class because they took, you know, three post players in this one. So, again, that's kind of that building momentum. It doesn't have – I know people say, well, football and basketball are separate. No, they're not, because these guys are seeing all the press that they're getting. Chris Smith wanted to make a big splash. He did it on his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
He could announce it at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. He did it in the evening when everybody was home because
he wanted the love. Yeah. And I get that.
And he's like, I want to make it a big deal so that people see it. And he noticed that we did a story where you showed all the – social media reaction, and there are a lot of guys that congratulated him. One of the first guys, Britton Cox.
Yep.
So they saw it. They're like, oh, wow, Georgia is getting recruits, you know, and he could be that Richard LeCount, you know, kind of Pied Piper. Maybe not to the extent that Richard was, because Richard's kind of a once in a, you know, 10 or 20 year type recruiter.
Sure.
I mean, but he could still be that guy. And so I'm not going to make him the bell cow, but he's definitely a strong recruiter. So that's going to be big for Georgia going forward. All right, let me get to some of the questions that have come in. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. I've got a lot of them here. Okay, Ross Selman asks, Jake, who do the Dogs sign from this group? Sawyer, Hill, Zeus, Henry, and Johnson. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that you get the first three. I think that Georgia right now gets Zamir White, Zeus as they call him. I think they get DeAndre Hill. I don't know when, but I think Trey Hill will want to come and play with Jake Fromm, his teammate. We talked about how when they were on G-Day together and the him hanging out with Jake Fromm after the game. I see that happening. And Jamari Sawyer, a fascinating guard. I mean, I can't remember the last guy I saw. Well, maybe Pettibone. But the last guy, there's just an absolutely dominant offensive guard. Sawyer's just unique when it comes to guards.
Wait. How did we move to Jamari Sawyer?
Because
when I left, you were talking about Conte.
Yeah, I did, and I made the point that now the basketball and football are basically recruiting the same class.
Oh yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Because that
no
Conte
doubt
was the last of the 2017. He's the fourth guy, you know, for the basketball team, and now you see the same. I don't want to call it passion or fear or intensity for the basketball team that you do the football team, because you know. They're still in the 2017 signing period for basketball. You know, it's a little bit different, but now the basketball and football team are on the same plane, and they're on the same same goals. And sometimes, you know, there's a couple guys that, you know, George is looking at in both. So
yeah,
there's
absolutely
not many. But point being, said, okay, well, let's get to some of the questions here. And one of the first ones that came up was about Jake. Who do you think they're going to get between, you know, Zeus, Sawyer, DeAndre Hill, Henry, and Johnson? And my guess is I think they pick up the first three. I think they get Jamari Sawyer, who my whole point was the guy is transcendent at guard. I don't remember guys who were so well-suited for – just like Zamir White is a great running back. He's great at being a running back. Very seldom do you see a guy who's so suited at guard. But I go back to, like, Pettibone for Alabama.
Yeah. Richard Pettibone.
I mean, that guy just screams guard or center, just nasty as hell, and that's –
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of inside scoop for 2019. You may not be thinking that far ahead. If there's a guy that looks like that, it's Clay Webb. He's made for the center position. He is a center. Jamari Sawyer is a guard. He is an NFL guard. He is a guy who is going to – I mean, he's going to step into a program and challenge day one.
Right, and DeAndre Hill is going to be the guy that challenges early, too, because he's
a great guard. I don't know that – honestly – I used to feel that the difference between those two was pretty substantial. I don't any longer. Yeah. I think that they are pretty close in that regard.
So you get those guys, and I think in June you get Zamir White. And that, for folks that don't know, we refer to him as Zeus. Everyone refers to him as Zeus. That's his nickname. It's fitting. And a little give ourselves a little shout-out here. The guys at the rival site, the Ohio State rival site, just went to his high school yesterday. And on the front page of UGA Sports, we have an interview with the very hard to get, very
Boy, it is hard to get. I don't even know how to express it. It was easier for Ohio State to get him than it was for us.
Yeah, because we were told we couldn't come up.
Yeah.
Point being, Zamir White talks about Georgia on the front page of UGA Sports. So check it out. He talks about Georgia, and here's the thing: the reason I say, his coach told us he thought Georgia led. Now, that was a while back. Was that a month ago, 2 months?
Yeah.
It's been a while. He came to the G-Day game. That was good. And when our Ohio State guys are talking to Zamir and asking him all these questions, they go through Ohio State, they go to Clemson, then they mention Georgia. Did you see the big grin he got on his face? Because he hates being interviewed.
Yes.
He absolutely hates being interviewed. And I understand.
And he hates being on video.
He abhors being on video. I don't know how the whole thing. Kevin Noon got him on video.
God bless him. He's a snake charmer.
Yeah, he is.
And
it is good because it shows you a guy's facial expressions and his body language. I don't read too much into it, but he was so, talking about Ohio State, talking about Clemson. But then we got to Georgia, he relaxed and he grinned.
He used the word that is so prevalent with these guys about what they want, and that was family. He said it's like a family there with those coaches, with their players. It's that family atmosphere. When I've been to Athens, and I've been there many times, and he expects to return.
Exactly that, because they asked him, "Well, did you see anything new?" He's like, "I've been there many times." He's grinning ear to ear. So again, to get to the,
I agree with you. I think that Sawyer, Jamari Sawyer, DeAndre Hill, Zamir White, probably if it were to end today, I think they would end up in Athens. Personally, I would say it's a coin flip for Henry. KJ Henry.
And a 5-star defensive end out of North Carolina.
KJ Henry, and I spoke to him on Sunday about this, and I think that it's very, very compelling what Georgia's doing with him. I said, have they ever mentioned to you that you remind them a little bit of Lorenzo Carter, because that's who he reminds me of? And he said, yeah, they might have dropped that once or twice.
See,
that's a thing that kids love. To a guy, Lorenzo, regardless of what you think about his production at Georgia, I mean, it's going to be hard probably to keep him out of the first two rounds of the NFL draft, this upcoming year, because of the physical tools that he possesses. KJ Henry, I think, is of that same vein.
But see, I think KJ might actually be more, in my mind,
refined.
I don't say refined, because Lorenzo was new to basketball, new to football. He played basketball, so he could be, but that. Some of the moves he has, that just viciousness, that kind of little snarl. You don't see it. He doesn't really exactly snarl when he does it, but, when he comes through and he's got that.
There's a swagger.
Yeah. It takes me back to Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
When I say back, it's not that much.
Yeah, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so if you want to be compared to one of the two, be compared to Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
Nothing against Lorenzo. Lorenzo's one of my buddies, but I'm just saying that would be huge. So.
Yeah, and the thing about Henry is, like you said, we spotted him last summer at the Underclassmen Challenge, really put together an incredible performance that day. One of the guys that I kind of identified off the block was like, hey, this guy's going to make some noise. Reminded me of some of the things I saw from Lorenzo early on, and is delivering on those things still. That is a and here it comes. And this is a guy, though, in my opinion, who has the raw athleticism that you cannot teach.
Yeah.
So you get him on campus and you figure it out and you hone those skills. KJ is one of those kids. You mentioned Lorenzo and the basketball connection. He's an excellent basketball player. He's a guy who knows how to move on the court.
Lorenzo was
he's not. KJ is not complete. KJ's not a complete prospect.
Well, that was Leonard Floyd. He was raw as hell out of high school.
Exactly.
We went to see him. He didn't know, and he's looking over the sideline. Am I up or am I down?
You know? Right.
I mean, and then
KJ's
went to Hargraves, came back a different player.
Yeah, KJ's even further than that. Yeah. He knows the ins and outs of football. Yeah. He's learning how to use his body and his superior athleticism to get around guys, even still at this point. So, a guy I do think it's a toss-up, in my opinion. Yeah. Between Clemson and Georgia, I think KJ Henry's a little bit torn. Clemson's not going to surprise me at all. It's the team he grew up the fan of. Georgia's depth chart is something that he is taking into heavy consideration and I think might push the needle a little bit their way.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. So, I mean, hey, if you wound up with those four guys, and then it's funny, this time next year we're going, hey, you remember last year when all those idiots were complaining about only having two commits? What a bunch of morons.
Yeah. Hopefully we're not sitting around about hitting the panic button again.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's there. Anyway, my horrible segue was we were moving into the Q&A portion of the show, and we've got a lot of those. Charlie Goss says, Champions rules, go dogs. Charlie Goss is a smart human being.
I agree.
Yeah, and people are talking about the food because they all want those tamales. We need to wrap this show up, man. I'm starving like a Marvin here. Ben Brown, be honest, is UGA trending down for a lot of 2019 prospects?
I don't get that feeling at all. You know, I think that Georgia has – I think Georgia's got a great – chance actually to make some major headway with how they perform.
They have four commits in that class.
Yeah, and they're all very, very good.
I mean, you're talking about a couple, probably.
Sure. But you're talking about, I mean, really, realistically, if you keep a guy like Jaden Hazelwood, that's a guy that Georgia has not had in a long time, in my opinion. Had a chance to see him at Rivals camp in Atlanta. Ran a route. And it blew my mind. This was a guy who he's hampered by injury. He shows up
in the rain.
Splits his time in high school between defensive back and wide receiver. Comes in, gets a kind of a duck pass, and is able to reel that in and get 2 feet down in by the sidelines. Wow. And that to me was that's a big time catch. The body awareness that takes is something that a lot of kids his age and even older lack.
It's 16.
Yeah, right.
So
that's a guy that can really forward that effort. You know, Rashad Chaney, I know, is a guy that you and I have talked about. Maybe he'll look elsewhere. He's got some other great offers.
He wants to be recruited.
Sure. Yeah. And who can blame him for that? Not me. Luke Griffin, I feel solid about you know, where they're headed with that. I think that 2019 – no, you've got a lot of steam in that class.
Nolan Smith is going to be down at IMG trying to bring in other 2019 guys.
So. From around the country.
Yeah, so.
And
so they've even got,
steam.
They've got a, I almost say he's a secret agent, you know, but they have a.
He's almost an international recruiter.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. He's a representative down there doing the work.
Yeah. That 2019 class, no worries there, in my opinion.
No. Lillian Anderson has it right. I'd like someone to have that yummy food. Yes, you would.
I bet.
And again, those chicken fingers in front of us, I mean, I don't know where he gets them. Apparently, they're from this mythical island of giant chickens because they're one. Put it this way. One of his chicken strips is like the full patty that you get at Chick-fil-A.
No, no doubt.
I mean, I cut him in half.
Yeah.
It's a chicken finger.
Ross Selman says, who's the 2018 DT that Georgia has the best chance of signing? That's a great question, Ross, honestly, because...
Oh, my God, they need him.
Oh, boy, do they ever. And also, a real premium this year. It's a premium every year. Don't get me wrong. 2018, though, in my opinion... one of the weaker D-line classes that I have seen in a while. So the defensive tackles, the defensive ends, they're at a huge premium this year. The guy that I think Georgia needs to pour all in on is a guy that I also met at Rivals Camp, and that is Jordan Davis. And we've got an update on him at UGASports.com. You're talking about a guy, 6'6", 320, carries it like nothing. Who he reminds me of is a guy who's become a very solid rotational player and frequent player for Georgia is DaQuan Hawkins-Muckle. You know, a guy with that kind of...
So you see him basically in that zero technique,
yes.
That nose guard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because they're playing Tyler Clark there, and Tyler's a little undersized.
Oh, no doubt. Tyler is definitely undersized for that position.
Not to say you can't be small, because you can be quick as hell.
Sure. FSU makes money off of it. You know, they have a lot of guys who can come in. That's just not normally the style that Georgia plays. It's not how they're playing right now.
Yeah.
Jordan Davis of Mallard Creek High School, 2018... The cool thing about him to me is that I spoke to him and I asked him about offers. I don't even think this kid knows what's going on with his recruitment. And you're talking about 6'6", 320. You know everybody's coming in. And he was like, I think I got an offer. I don't know. He said, I don't care about it. He said, I'm going to start my recruitment process after my senior season of football.
Wow.
So, I mentioned in the article, and it is very true, Trey Scott has made headway. Almost every defensive lineman I talked to knows him from North Carolina. You know, that's Brendan Fajoco. Everybody. I mean, it really is. Obviously, the whole North Carolina contingent. But you're talking about Emmett Gooden as well, a guy who came over or is playing now in the JUCO ranks. People know Trey Scott's name, and he has carried over so much goodwill to this Georgia
class. But does Darnell Jeffries know his name?
I hope so. Darnell is, in my mind, the biggest guy to keep in-state this year because of what he brings to the field. And like I said, he's a Peach State recruit. You've missed on the last two stars there.
So if you get both those guys, if you could get Jordan Davis, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get Darnell Jeffries.
That's a solid defensive tackle recruiting class. There's not any argument, in my opinion, especially in this environment. Are those guys raw? Yes. Do they have a lot to learn? Yes. Can they grow and can they fill out more? Yes. But 2018 is not exactly – there is no Derrick Brown in this class.
Yeah. Okay.
There's really probably not even any Aubrey Solomon in this class.
Yeah, those two guys are pretty unique.
They're freaks.
Those are not – every year type guys.
Derrick Brown, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. If you've got, at this point, you've got to take a guy who is high ceiling, great developmental prospect.
Well, that's why Ross's question is like, you know, who are they?
And yep.
Those are two that.
Jordan Davis is the guy I think Georgia probably should pour a lot of efforts into. Ben Brown says, when will the 2019 players be ranked on Rivals? We actually wait a while for that. We are not ahead of the gun like some other people. So we want to give them time. Now, we are handing out stars already. You know, we've got a good sense of who's going to land where, a five-star, a four-star, that kind of thing. But
remember, these guys have only played 2 years. And until you've seen – here's the thing. Rivals will look and basically rank, put guys in order of, you know, here's the best wide receivers, best cornerbacks, you know, best quarterbacks. If you've only seen 13 or four, you know, so of them, and all of a sudden you put out your 13 best quarterbacks, and then by the time we've gotten to 200 and the guy that was, you know, seventh is now 194th, all of a sudden, they're like, why did you drop him so far? So let's be sure that we've seen more, you know, again, these guys only played 2 years of high school. Let's see as many of them as possible and then put them in rankings.
All right, we got a lot more questions to get to, so let's hit them. Chad Robinson says, make a prediction on the next commit. I have my own feelings. I'm going to turn it to you, though, first off, and then I'll come in.
I'm going to say they pick up Kyrus Jackson.
Okay.
Simply because when you spoke to him at the Rivals camp,
private said that, conversation.
Yeah, Kirby and I had this private conversation, and what'd he say? I'll tell you more about it later. Well, Kyrus is not exactly one to hold back cards. You know, he's pretty open and forthcoming guy. So that kind of felt like again, I don't know his timetable. I mean, he might go to signing day, but when a kid tells you something like that, I mean, it just has to catch your attention.
I'm going to go Trey Dean.
My other kid.
Trey is, and I was worried you were going to say him. Yeah. Trey is a guy that, I honestly kind of wait day in and day out to see that he's going to commit to Georgia. I have really full confidence that he's going to end up being a Bulldog in the end. I've known him for a long time. I've known him. He wanted to be a Bulldog early on. He wanted to be a Bulldog later on. He still wants to be a Bulldog, and I think he's going to be a Bulldog, and I think he's going to be a very, very good safety.
Yeah, he got my attention at the Rivals camp.
So, Chad, thank you very much for that question. Jeff Fulford says,
Don Duggar says, Roll Tide, Roll. I think you're on the wrong podcast, Don.
Yeah, we go to the other page. Jeff Fulford, do you think they may try and go the JUCO route for DT in 2018? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind.
That
I think Emmett Gooden, a guy who I've talked to several times, a very, very real possibility for this 2018 class, in my opinion. A guy who's got 2 years left, has that I hesitate to say Trent Thompson size because I think people want that Trent Thompson production, but he does. He's got that frame that's very similar. You're talking about a guy who's long, he's big, and can get in there. I love the experience factor. I love the fact that he linked up with Trey Scott in the past. They're two guys that have known each other for a long time. I think that's a very, very real possibility.
Well, to answer Jeff's question, also think about Georgia went hard after Brendan Fajoco.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
he was going to have to sit out.
I know, but I'm just saying the fact that they were willing to take a guy that was like, hey, come in, you have to sit out this year, but then you still had 2 years to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they definitely want somebody who's had experience. The guy started 25 games, you know, his first 2 years at Texas Tech. So,
Erica Sigley Emmons asks, "Is that a no on Johnson then?" The fifth guy who was included, Tyreek Johnson. No. I do feel like not right now. I don't think that Georgia is going to be the place for him. If I had to pick, I'd probably say Florida is going to be the spot.
He almost committed Georgia as a freshman.
He did? Oh, man, I remember that very well. I remember that. That was after Trinity Christian played Buford. And we were at that game, and he was very, very much into that. And let me tell you something. This is a kid, if you can get him, score. I mean, it's beyond a score. This was a guy I saw work out heading into that ninth grade year who I thought was probably at least a rising junior, if not a rising senior. 6'1",
That's the first time we saw Kyle Davis. I was like, oh, there's a senior that we didn't get, and he's like, no, I just finished my freshman year.
Tyreek, though, I have a hard time seeing him at Georgia at this moment. I know that he likes Georgia. He's called Kirby Smart a defensive mastermind, a guru. I just don't think it's going to happen right now. Can things change? Yes, and I think that they've got time to change it. Ben Brown asked about Stephon Wynn. Great question about Stephon. A guy who plays that D tackle. He's a slash player on that defensive line. All reports are that he is really liking what Georgia has to offer. I don't know that we've got a real good sense of a timeline on him, so things can change. Yeah. But a kid that, if Georgia's able to add him to the fold, fans need to take that very seriously. That would be a big, big pickup. And I think a guy that Trey Scott is pouring into heavily for good reason. Pete Ellis, this isn't a question, but I like what he says. He says the recruits will start committing after Zeus commits in June. You can't, but if Zamir does it, that's you want to talk about. I mean, Chris Smith is an icebreaker. Chris Smith is going to – I think that there are guys coming after Chris Smith. If Zamir White, the nation's number one running back, commits to Georgia, as I expect he will – then that's going to shake up a lot
like
of the
Najee
recruiting
Harris
scene.
Committing to Georgia last year about the same time, you know.
Yeah. Granted,
now, he held off to the very end, but, I mean, Zamir has that same sort of mystique that Najee had amongst the recruits. You know, they're like, wow, he's a top guy. And if that top guy is coming to Georgia, knowing that they just picked up all those other five stars and they had the number three recruiting class, Yeah, that could be a kind of a good kickstarter there where all of a sudden, if Jamari Sawyer's still out there, he goes, yeah, I want to block for that guy. You know, that's where he's going. I'm going to go to.
Let's see. A couple more. What happened to Trenton Thompson? He didn't play at the spring game. Leon Allen asked that question. If you, Leon, and for others who haven't been keeping close tabs in the offseason, Trent Thompson had a bit of an issue. He's not enrolled at UGA for this semester.
Issue.
He had a medical issue, and expectations are that he will return in the summer semester.
Trent might be here this month because they have Maymester. You know, that little short session in summer. He could show up for Maymester. He's still on campus. He just had to withdraw from classes. So I was told that he should be back this summer, and the person that told me that is very well-versed on, you know, the ins and outs of Trenton Thompson's situation. But they weren't sure if he'd be back for the May or the June session, you know, because you have two different early sessions in the summer session. You know, you have session one, session two, and then you have the summer semester that runs for the entirety of June and July. But then you also have that little Maymester thing thrown there. I don't know if he has any classes that would qualify for that Maymester, but some people do. So there's a possibility he's back on campus. I mean, back. He's on campus, but back in classes this month.
And I was a little bit skeptical about his return when things happened.
Yeah.
I have no doubts now. After seeing how involved he's been, after seeing how involved he's been in spring practice, where he's been around the team frequently.
Every chance we've seen the team, he's been there.
He's there. Justin Obregon, great question here. At what point of this offseason do you think UGA gets rolling in recruiting for the 2018 class? Personally, I don't think it happens in the offseason. I don't know that it's a question where they pick up in this offseason. I think that there will be some good additions, but I've mentioned I think a lot of kids are sitting back and waiting to see how does this team produce in this 2017 season. If Georgia goes on a run to start the season, I think then you could break that.
But I think if you have, let's say your Trey Dean commits, and then you're sitting at four, you know, DeAndre decides he wants to pull the trigger, you're at five, Zeus commits in June, you're at six, that brings in two or three others, you could be at 10 before August. So, again, but there's no – they have the Kirby Smart camp. They're going to have the satellite camps on campuses. He's going to have all the 7-on-7s. They've got 1,000 offers out, it seems. So, you never know when one of these guys is kind of like Donovan George is out of the blue. I'm committed to Georgia. Okay. You know, we knew he had an offer. They pulled the trigger. Chris Smith. Now, we knew about it, but nobody else did. That's kind of – there was no motive, no there's nothing you could tie it to. It was – I mean, there was G-Day.
Absolutely.
But it didn't happen like on G-Day. So – I don't know what, if any of those camps will trigger, you know, a flood of commits. And they don't do dog
night
anymore.
Well, and they didn't, you know, they did not last year. So so we have to operate somewhat off of that. What they did was revealed a lot of incredible players who ended up picking offers down the line. There weren't a lot of commits out of that.
Yeah,
you know, but
It was constant, though. You know, every...
And I think
three, 4 weeks, you got a guy.
I think that something like that is what turned the tide for a guy like Walter Grant, who committed when we were in Missouri, I believe. You know, he's a guy who was sort of – he came to that camp. He didn't even participate. He had 3 days to spend in Athens, got to spend some time around coaches, players. That was what ended up motivating him, in my opinion.
Yes, I don't know if there's any one thing that'll – at any point this summer in which all these guys are going to pop, but I could definitely see a situation where, you know, you have that same – okay, a guy commits every 2-3 weeks. You know, Samir brings one or two with him. You get a couple guys who are – now that Chris Smith has broken the ice, and you go into August with 10 guys committed. You're only going to have a class of 20.
Sure.
You're halfway there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ben Brown asks a – great question. Damian Pierce visited for the G-Day game. I think that Georgia is going all in on Zamir White for 2018, and it's kind of boom or bust. And if they bust, then they move on to the other options.
Right.
Now, could Damian be a later add? Yes. Does he want that status? Does he want to follow a guy?
Backs.
They do. Does he want to follow a guy like Zamir, though? That's a little bit questionable in my mind.
So
I'm not crazy about that.
Ashley Faulkner asked, are those tamales? Yes, they are. For the people listening to the podcast, I apologize because you can't see the beautiful tamales.
We're going to get smell-o-vision.
Yeah.
Or smell-o-listen.
We have here for Champions. This is my... everything on the menu is my favorite thing to eat here, but those tamales are special. And yeah, we're going to.
All right. We got two more questions. We'll touch on those, then we'll wrap this thing up. Jeff Fulford says, okay, Roddy, did I miss the potential good news coming this week? You teased it out, and then it happened today, and a lot of people, it flew under the radar.
Yeah. Well, because what happened was when Chris Smith committed, people, some people came on and said, hey, now we just need two or three more of these guys in the next week. I'm like, And go back to the question we just had. When are they all going to hit? And I don't know that's going to happen. But I did say, Georgia had some more good news coming. And everyone assumed automatically there was another 2018 guy committing.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Good news is coming. And sure enough, today we found out that Isaac Conte, we mentioned him earlier in the show, 6'8" guy, power forward out of Connecticut, committed to Georgia, signed his LOI, sent it in. He is now a member of the team. And that was the good news coming. And I told people, hey, it's good news, but it's not what you think.
Yeah,
because they all immediately assumed that it was another 2018 recruit. So that was the good news, and that's what we mentioned.
Wayne Carroll says, anybody close to committing for 2018? I know about the three-star defensive back. Anybody else? We touched on that a little bit. I think that there are – I do think that there are a couple guys they've got in their pocket right now. And
One of our insiders at UGA Sports – and that's the cool thing about being part of the UGA Sports message boards, because we have people from inside the program that comment over there. And one of them, I thought, had a very interesting line. He said, very good job for Chris Smith on becoming public. Some of the other guys haven't done so, or showed good courage in going ahead and making his commitment, unlike some other guys, which could be read two ways. One, they have some silent commits who aren't saying anything. Or two, they had some guys they thought were going to commit who didn't. I'm going to take it to be the previous, because I think a couple guys have told Georgia, I'm coming. And now, when Georgia would like for them to say, to do it publicly, they're like, I still want to
– Sure.
I still want to be recruited. And that's one of the things I spoke to.
They want to be recruited, and also they want that – the moment. There's that idea of capturing the moment. Chris Smith, I think, did it in – about the best way of anybody I've seen in a long time, by coming out of nowhere. That's great. He didn't tease it out. He wasn't saying it's coming at 6 o'clock. It was just
It was a day where the post G-Day high has worn off. You had a top player get arrested. Everyone's upset, and you haven't had a big name commit. Now it's nothing against Jake Camarda, but people. Weren't
people don't respect the kicker as they should,
which they should. But so the thing, and actually, I think somebody in our business actually said this is the first commit for Kirby Smart in 3 months. And I'm like, no, they got Jake Camarda, so maybe they don't.
Maybe they're not really paying attention.
So maybe somebody in the business basically said that this is a big deal. So Chris Smith came out of the blue and dropped it on everybody. Again, there was that moment, and I clicked on his Twitter page, and it was absolutely full of congratulations. So, and some guys want to do it, like Samir White wants to do it on his mom's birthday.
Yep, mom's birthday.
Some guys want to do it after they go to one more school. They're like, I'm down to Clemson, Georgia. Let me go to Clemson for
– Jordan Davis, like I mentioned, wants to play his entire senior year out before he even starts entertaining this.
Yeah.
There's no formula. There isn't, and I know people think, oh, they're pouring in on them hard, and all of that makes sense. But a lot of these guys, they start whenever they want. Really, that's what it is.
And that's why you are a member of UGA Sports, is because you try to find out what's going to happen. That's why we have updates, and people say, well, has anything changed with them? Well, if nothing's changed, we usually don't do a story. There's no point.
Speaking of. Come on over to UGASports.com in the morning. Quavaris Crouch is a guy I'm going to give you the insight on. That's a four-star running back. But let me tell you, I do not think running back's his ultimate position. I think he's a linebacker at the next level.
So how much of that beer did you have?
I'm telling you, I met him this weekend. One of the best looking kids physically I've ever encountered in my career, and a kid that I think is going to end up being a star. Georgia, a very, very, very big player there.
Okay, well, with that tease, we're going to end the show on that note because you need to go by UGA Sports, check it out. I want to thank all the folks at 11 Live for giving us the platform to do our podcast. I want to thank Champions for having us in. Thank him for all the great food. I'm going to have that packaged up, the stuff that's in front of me, and take it home with me. If you reach for those tamales, you will be unemployed.
I will get slapped.
I'm just saying. No, yeah, you won't get slapped. You'll be fired. That's how it works out. Anyway, thanks for listening to the podcast, and be sure to subscribe at iTunes and Google Play. And that way it'll come straight to you every time that we do a show. We do them every Tuesday. Usually we're starting around 8:30, so tune in next week, and you can watch us live.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.